Where the fuck you get that placa, little Bo Peep?
Soy de Pico Eliso.
Hey, Cinderella, go find yourself a fella. You're on the clock, bitch, and midnight is coming. You got the wrong man.
¿Cómo te llamas?
Güero.
Mico Vaca.
Okay, now get some free tacos, all right?
What's up, fool? What's up, fool? What's up, fool? What's up, dog? What's up? We got Rodrigo Torres over here.
Hell yeah, but other than that, shit, you know, all excited right now.
We don't even need a bio. We don't need no nothing, bio. Dog. We don't need nothing here. Actually, you know, our what's guest, up, which we're going to introduce right now or later.
Yeah, man.
I met him before, bro. He used to go to the comedy shows.
Which one?
It was on Friday nights. I think it was on Burrito Night or Taco Fridays or Refry something. But it was a Latino show. He showed up, man, and I was like, damn.
You recognize him? Whatever.
Right away, fool. I never even been to one car show, and I knew who he was.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah, bro.
For me,
it was like watching Stallone, bro.
Hell yeah, dog.
Pacino.
Fool was representing.
Nah,
dog.
Fool. When I was in Rotterdam, I was in Amsterdam. I was doing a comedy show over there. And these guys, after the comedy show, they told me, what's up, fool? Right? They told me, what's up, fool? And I told them that I was from Boyle Heights, you know, mm-hmm. Pico Aliso. Man, these fools were quoting Blood In, Blood Out. But in, like, in a British accent, it sounded like, kind of like a pussy, right? Hey, Vato. Vato's locals forever. Blood in, blood out, you know? Sorry, Paco. No, I'm not here for you.
Are you serious?
They were quoting it, bro. And I don't know, bro, but if, like they say, man, you got, they were gangsters, but they gave me a lot of love, man, because the movie. To them over there, that's the way they see Blood In, Blood Out, American Me, these type of movies. They see them the way us growing up saw Godfather, because they know that, you know, we saw Godfather, we saw Goodfellas. To them, that's their Goodfellas. Not, you know, that's them, you know. But to us too, man. Like, what's the name of that dude from John Michael Quesada? He's an actor.
Mm-hmm.
He came out in a movie, Observer Report. He's the guy that shot heroin in the movie. Michael Peña. Oh, you get the name wrong. He said that he became an actor because he saw Blood In, Blood Out.
Oh, hell yeah. I didn't know that,
and
dog.
He said, if Danny Trejo could do it, so could I.
Fuck that, dude. That's just beautiful.
Everybody's in that movie.
Hell yeah, dude.
So what's up, fool, man?
Chilling, dog.
Where were you at this weekend?
This weekend, fucking haha, fool.
No, then, where were you at last weekend?
Oh, last week. Oh, shit, fool. In Richland, Washington, dog.
Richland, Washington.
Tripping, dog.
No, that was
2 weeks ago, dog.
Last week I was in Miami, bro.
Oh, dick, I forgot, fool.
It was Miami, bro. It was so humid, man. You know, I weigh 275, man.
Coño.
275 pounds. I had to at the front desk. You guys have baby powder? I was getting a rash, bro.
No mames, dog. You went with the Chris Thorne, right?
Chris Thorne, you know, man. They thought he was Andy Garcia, bro.
The little Andy Garcia, bro.
That was a schnauzer, bro. I told him, don't go in the water, bro. They might think you're a shark.
Come on, bro.
We didn't go to the beach, though, man, because it was too humid. It's funny, man. You didn't go to the beach? Yeah, bro, too humid to go to the beach. But in Coconut Grove, man, you gotta look good to go there, man. You gotta do like 25 push-ups before you go outside. Everybody's so pretty.
Well, they'll give you a ticket, dog.
Did you get arrested one time there?
It was either that or go back into the water, dog.
They arrested you for being fat, huh?
This fool, dog. Nah, dude. But you feel gross, dog, because you fucking see all just like the prettiest fucking things and the creatures in the world, dog.
So I went to Florida Marlins game, and Florida Marlins is... where they play at now is the original place where they had the Orange Bowl. But they knocked that shit down and they made a new stadium just for the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
But they made it inside Little Havana. That's like, fool, that's like fucking knocking down Sears in Boyle Heights and building Dodger Stadium right there. All right? That's how close it is to the neighborhood, right? So there, right? Oh, I'm spilling water here. I'm sorry, people.
Fuck it. Mazel tov.
Mazel tov here.
Hey, so they built that stadium because that's where they were having that 50-50 gambling thing, you're telling me?
No, but see, there's no... I didn't get a chance to find parking inside the stadium because people who live in Little Havana, they charge people to park in their house.
Like in the driveway and shit?
Yeah.
On the lawn?
like the way the Coliseum was during the 1984 Olympics. So this fool charging $25 to park in their house before the game starts. I got there after the game started. They were charging $10. So I told this Cuban guy, well, let me just park it in front of your house for $10. He goes, how about I let you use my restroom for another $5? I said, oh, well, I'll just have your wife make croquetas for another $20.
Coño, tranquilo. You know,
Cuban, bro, they're thinking about
they're
money.
They're fast,
bro.
Dude. They're moving, they're fast, hustling, man. Dog. Bro, every minute of the day.
Dude, they have something like they don't have a Dodger Stadium, bro. They had real medianoche sound.
Inside the stadium.
Real pork shoulder, right? They were just chopping it up right there, a long-ass bread. Me being vegetarian, vegan, I couldn't eat nothing. I was just
you're behind bars, awful.
I was watching that massacre like the Holocaust.
Genocide.
It smelled good though, man.
That's just bomb. Full Cuban food like that. Oh,
I
shit.
Might be vegan, man, but every once in a while, my small lechona say, man, let me take a little whiff.
Smells good.
Smells like People, it's hard to explain to people, you know, why you're vegan, why you're vegetarian, and the easiest way I found out now why what don't you eat. So I tell them now, I don't eat anything that has a mother and a father.
I don't want to destroy anything.
Then they always throw me in like, but marijuana has a mother. I say, motherfucker, I ain't eating it.
Can't mess with Mother Earth. But one thing you're going to say about, like, they have all that shit right there, all that Cuban food inside the stadium, and it's all done up, everybody's speaking Spanish, because, like, Miami's one of those places where we go to the airport and everybody's speaking Spanish. It's like, and you're like... You're not even in America, huh?
Fool, everybody speaks Spanish, man.
Oh yeah, dog.
Everybody speaks Spanish, bro. Like you're watching the menu. Okay, it's $5, popcorn $7. Then it switches to Spanish. Okay, papalitas. Then it switches to Spanish. They don't do that at your stadium, bro.
Hell no, it's a trip though, dude.
You don't know how to order next. It's funny, we were at Dodger Stadium last night.
Hell yeah.
You know these hipsters, right? Coming up with corn in a cob inside Dodger Stadium, right?
It looked weak, though, pavilion, dog.
And there were these thugs, cholos, next to us. Where'd they get that, Holmes? And I said, they're hipsters, bro. They bought it in from Echo Park. Nah, but they bought it right there.
Oh, yeah.
What's up, fool? We have a special guest, man. But we're going to say right before we introduce ourselves, because normally people start listening to our show and they give up and they stop listening. So we got to mention that I'm going to be in Las Vegas this weekend, May 1st and 2nd at Backstage Bar and Billiards. And on Saturday, the show is right after the fight. The show will start at 11:30 at night, and that show is 2-for-1. But you got to buy the tickets there. Please don't email me and ask me how you get those tickets, man. I don't know, man. I'm just a comedian. I go there, I perform, okay? I don't talk to the manager. I try to avoid the staff. I try to avoid the manager. I try to avoid the owner of the place. I don't want to be his buddy. Because next time I come back, he's going to try to get me for half off. Half off because I threw up at his house. You know? So I don't hang out with nobody. I don't know how to get to a table. No. I can't even get my family in. I don't want them there. Oh, man. The worst when somebody asks you 1 hour before the show, can you get me a table? Yeah, bro, I'll get you a table outside playing dominoes.
A fucking usher, damn.
All right, people, I'll be at the Tempe Improv. I'm going there with Fred Stoller. Fred Stoller.
Freddy.
I'll be there May 7th through 10th with Rodrigo Torres. He'll be back doing the same 10 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Now, you coming up with something new, bro, or what?
I got some shit. Up?
All right, man. People have been asking, man. Felipe, you coming with the same 1 hour? For real. All right, people, if you're asking if I'm coming back with the same material, it's coming back with the same material, but not in the same order. So don't think you're going to walk out my show and say, oh, I already heard that joke. Nah, man. It might be different. And like, I might say, instead of Maria, I might say Lupe or Claudia.
Socorro.
All right. Both shows at Chicago, May 16 and 17, are sold out at Joe's Bar on Weed Street. Sold out. Sold out, people. Dun, 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 dun. But a few tickets left for Sunday. Sunday, like 10 tickets. You know what? They're already sold out, man. We might add a Sunday show. We never know, man. It all depends, man. They're going to give me the whole door or what? I don't know. It should be like Kate Perry. She asked for 100% of the door, and then she asked for 10% of the gross of food.
Of the concessions and all
that
shit?
Man. Hell yeah, man. That's like saying Bruce Willis getting $5 million for that movie and 10% of our popcorn.
Damn, dude. The Be stacking chips, Katy Perry.
So I'm going to take it to the next level, bro. When I start touring big, I'm going to ask for 100% of the door, and I'm going to buy 100 tickets from the front row. Then I'm going to have a third party scalp them independently for $500 each, and we'll make that money also.
After party money.
Tell you, bro, I'm ahead of my time, bro. But I'm only like an hour ahead. And anyway, we're in California, so I'm really 3 hours behind everybody. Hey, that's a mathematical joke.
Yeah, man.
All right, people, what's enough up, of me, man. I know you're tired of hearing me. For Gio, give us a yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm in tears right now, man.
Why, dog?
I got the goosebumps, man. We've been waiting for this for a long time, man. I know you have been asking. We've been promoting that he was going to be here without us even asking him.
That's why I didn't want to say nothing. When's he going to be on there? That's Hollywood. Soon.
Yeah, man. We have a very special guest. We have
special.
Very special. We're not even going to mention all the stuff he's been on because, believe me, man, I've seen him all. But all the way from Dayton, Ohio. Damn,
original.
Dayton, Ohio. That's my wife. My wife is from Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. All the way. Meadowdale High. Anyways, a big hand for Damian Chapa.
Thank you very
much. What's up, brother? What's up, boo?
Felipe, thank you for inviting me to your wonderful show. And I'm crying. I'm in tears. You guys are crazy. And I love it.
Don't worry, bro. We got your esquina right here. Oh, man. What an honor, man. What an honor to have you here. You look the same.
I know, dog.
I'm serious, man. Because, man, when I look at you and I look at the other guy, what's his name? Robert Forsythe or John Forsythe? William Forsythe. Whoever played American Me, JD. Mm-hmm. Man, you seen that fool? That fool was beat down, bro.
Yeah, well.
That fool, like, he do like fucking, what's the name? Michael Chiklis now. People are saying, who's Michael? Why does he sell chiclets? That's the fat guy from The Shield, bro.
It's me. Again.
It's funny when you talk to like Latinos or people who just grew up in the hood, who are used to just buying bootleg movies. They never know the actor's name. Just like, hey, bro, you're the fucking guy who shot that guy, bro.
At the end.
Or like that good, or that black actor, bro, that shot that dude in Boys Next Door. That fool that with a shotgun.
Boys in the Hood.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking. Okay.
Not that guy, though. But the other one, guy. Menace to Society. Remember that fool? And
the
society.
Crazy fool.
What's up, cousin? And then he came out in another movie where he raped some chick. Then he came out in another movie where he got some fool killed. Fool Snoop Dogg made a meme about him.
Yeah, that nigga.
Yo, man, I wouldn't trust that nigga in real life. Yeah, man. So he's a character actor. Let me tell you, man, one thing about character actors is that you never forget the motherfucker, man.
Hell no.
You just remember that motherfucker, man. Yeah, man, that's the motherfucker that helped that guy get that Oscar, but he didn't give him thanks.
That's what helped that guy get that Oscar.
Fool like Angel Salazar. next to Al Pacino is fucking Scarface. Chicho, get the yayo. He said, okay, you never forget that motherfucker, man.
Especially with that badass little suit,
and then when you
though.
See him, you say, bro, you're fucking get the yayo guy.
I did it all for the coke.
Like me, when people see me, they say, Felipe, you're the guy from Lost. And I've never been on Lost. So what's up, Damian Chapa, man? How are you, brother?
It's so good to be here, you guys. It's been a while. I haven't been in Los Angeles. I've been in Europe making films, and I'm back here. And I'm preparing to make a film called Blood for Blood, which is not Blood In, Blood Out 2, but it will be a wonderful film that has a lot to do with the hood and all the things that go on there. And hopefully I can bring back a character somehow that people like. And, I wanted to say to all my people out there, Vatos Locos forever.
Yeah!
I mean forever. Forever. And ever. And ever.
That's what's up, dog.
Hell yeah, man. What was it? You know, man, when you... you've made a lot of movies in your life, you know. Before that, you were a child actor, right?
No, I actually started in a film called Under Siege with Steven Seagal.
That was your first movie?
That was my first one. Actually, we started Blood and Blood Out, but then I went and shot Under Siege, and then we had to come back and reshoot more of Blood and Blood Out. It was such a long shoot, that film. It was like a 6-7 month film. Then we had to come back and shoot again. So Blood In, Blood Out was a long shoot. Actually, it was a 5-hour cut For the original director's cut, but I went in there and said, look, you guys got to cut some of this. It's 5 hours, you know.
It's an epic.
And most of it was Benjamin Bratt, and then they cut some of it out, and then they made it more about the prison. You know, but Ben did a great job. Jesse Borrego did a great job. Everybody was so wonderful to work with in that film. It's more than a film for me. It was more like an experience, really learning more about my Chicano, a Chicano experience. You know, my father's from Texas, Robstown, Texas. A lot of people out there are really proud to be from Robstown, and you'll know it when you meet them. I guess I'm sort of part Tejano.
Oh, yeah?
If you want to say that, yeah. Even though I was born in Dayton, I'm consider myself a little bit more Tejano.
Shit, man.
That Tejano blood.
No, bro. To everybody, you'll always be Chicano to the bone, bro. We don't care, man.
I'm white on the inside, but brown.
Some people we just take, bro.
Hell yeah, dog.
You know what, bro? He's close enough to Chicano. We'll take him, bro.
Hell yeah, dog.
Like, there's some people, like my father, for example, man, when he saw The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly, remember the guy who played The Ugly? He's Jewish, bro. But my dad told me that fool was Spanish. He accepted him as Mexican, so I lived this lie thinking that guy was a Mexican actor. Okay, man. Lying about the book. Nah, that motherfucker from Queens. Yeah, what's the name? Eli Wallach, bro.
Eli Wallach
and The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly, bro. The famous scene, bro, when they're on the top of the horse and they're leaving the fucking his brother, the priest. My brother, eh? My brother says, hey, Chuco, you stay here, eh? I said, nah, brother, I gotta go. No, my brother. My brother loves me. But Clint Eastwood had just finished seeing his brother beat the shit out of him right now, right? He's bullshitting the whole time. And then Clint Eastwood knows he's lying, but he still gives him a secret. Everybody needs a brother. And then fucking Clint Eastwood, then that fool looks at him knowing that he's bullshitting him, going, yeah. Yeah, man. So how did you get into acting?
Well, I did a lot of theater in New York, you know. I loved theater early on, but then later on I fell in love with film, and I was actually in New York City doing a play, and a guy came out and to the small theater we were doing a play at the 18th Street Playhouse, and he said, I want you to play James Dean. So he flew me out to Los Angeles, and then Leonardo DiCaprio was doing another film about James Dean, and it was all on the front cover of all the magazines. I'm doing the independent James Dean. Leo's doing the Warner Brothers. He fell out of that one. And the studio, the independent studio I was going to play James Dean with, the producers pulled up to a traffic light somewhere in Culver City, and somebody came out and blew all their heads off. that was my end of my career for a while. It's in a book called Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's in the book, the whole story. And then I ended up sweeping the floors for the studio that I was going to be playing a big part in. So I lost my career for a few years, and then it was pretty depressing.
And, God damn.
And then I went.
Shit is deep.
Yeah, and then I went and auditioned for Blood In, Blood Out, which was kind of a strange process.
No pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. And then I went in and auditioned for Blood In, Blood Out, and they said, you know, what nationality are you? You know, and I said, well, half Mexican and half Gavacho. Yeah. And the guy goes, what's a gavacho?
What's a gavacho?
Give him a virtual riso.
He goes, wow, you're Mexican, dude. This is great. I'm going to bring you in for the director. And I'm like, all right. You know, and so he was one of those California boys. But he brought me in. And then Taylor Hackford, who was as white as rice, he had a great understanding of the Chicano community, though, as anybody could see by watching the film. And Jimmy Baca Santiago, who was the writer, who really experienced a lot of this, you know, going to prison, and he's in New Mexico now. He's a big poet. And he wrote the script. Taylor directed it. And I think the combination of those guys together, you know, I was an unknown then, and they had all these big actors, Chris Penn, Sean Penn's brother, all these big actors were screen testing when I went in. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to get this, no matter how good I am. For Blood In, Blood Out. Billy Bob Thornton was in it, yeah. You know, what happened was they chose an unknown, but somebody who grew up as a Weddle in a Chicano community, which was smart because I understood the character. You know, one minute I would be with this hillbilly side of the family, and next minute I'd be with the Chicano, and I understood the differences. So they were good to choose somebody who understood it, I think, you know. And the rest is historia.
You know, man, every time when I see that movie, it takes me back because I grew up in Pico Aliso. Right there, the house that you come out of.
By El Pino?
Yeah. Well, you know, the house where you live with your mom.
Oh, yeah,
the projects.
Yeah. Yes.
That house, my friend used to live there, and I know that neighborhood.
Yeah.
I grew up right there. I think after they shot the movie, they tore them down.
Was it in Garrity Loma?
No, Pico Aliso.
Oh, Pico Aliso. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, we're shooting in Pico Aliso. What was that like, man, in the neighborhood?
Well, that whole area over in East
LA. It was gangster back then.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, we were shooting and Taylor.
They were shooting.
We were shooting, they were shooting, and we were trying to get over there shooting. But basically.
Cut! Somebody cut. No, sir, no, don't cut them.
I mean, it really was like that, though, because we were filming and, you know, we would hear shots. Back then, it was pretty bad, you know. And Taylor Hackford put Jesse Borrego, Benjamin Bratt, and myself in a place in Garrity Loma. We had all these gangsters around us watching us, you know, but really they were out at night partying. And here we were alone. And next thing you know, we heard shots. And I think I remember Ben saying, hey, I think it's time to get out. You know, maybe go over there to Culver City. He was joking around. But really, it got a little strange. But I was used to it because I kind of grew up on the streets and stuff like that. But they were a little bit, you know, less... they didn't have that type of history, so it was a little hard for them. But we grew up. He put us there for 6 months to grow up in East L.A. to understand it more, which really helped because we got around all the gente. We started to understand because, you know, a Tejano or a New York Mexicano or somebody from Ohio is way different culturally than a Chicano from L.A. There's a whole different set of rules and understandings. Different types of, you know, language. And so we learned a lot about it, you know. And we learned about, you know, carnal and all this Chicano approach.
Hell yeah, carnal. Orale, vato.
Él es mi carnal.
Exactly, bro, because people don't understand that, like, Chicano from Boyle Heights, East Los Angeles, City Terrace, Garrity Loma right there, that area, they speak different from Cholos and Mexicans from... For example, Venice Beach.
San Pedro.
It's a whole different
San
thing.
Pedro. Because they over there by South San Pedro, they have more African-Americans over there. So they have a little more hip-hop slang to their... They're like, orale, what's up? They're more like, déjame, motherfucker, bitch.
Chingon, my nigga.
Chingao.
And then where I grew up in Texas, you know, around Tejanos, it was a whole different thing. You know, it was real, more ranchero.
Yeah.
You know, so it was
gangbanging with boots over there, huh?
Yeah, and they're pretty badass over there. Trust me on that one, man.
They be rancholos.
Rancholos.
Yeah, man.
They be drive-bys and horses.
It's like Villa used to do it, dog.
They got trucks, you know.
So that was, you were a theater background? That was, you started with theater and then?
Yeah, started with theater and then I got Blood and Blood Out, which was a really big success for me. And it's interesting because after all these years, I've done so many movies. I played Lau Menendez in a miniseries. I did a Melrose Place. I did a lot of other movies.
Money Talks,
Chris
right?
Money Talks, Carmine.
Money Talks and all these other films I did on my own. Like, you know, I played Marlon Brando in a movie. I played Polanski. I did a lot of character roles. But Blood In, Blood Out is the one that stays. I mean, everywhere I go, that's all people really know.
You go to MegaCon, Comic-Con.
Everybody will stop.
It's such a great experience. I was thinking about, you know, running for president. It's time.
You should.
It's time for a Mexican.
Yeah. I'm serious, man. Everybody, like, we have my wife and I, we have a son. Well, she has a son. He's 10 now. And we did a podcast last week, and he called himself Little Miklo.
Wow, I'm so proud of that.
A lot of people, man. Like, if you Google Miklo on Instagram, it's usually like a photo, and they're all Mexicans, and there's one white boy in the middle, all hard.
Well, that's what
that... You made it, like, the word Miklo is synonymous to any white hardcore white boy that's hanging out with Mexicans.
Yeah, dude. Well, that's what that movie did, like. there has always been like a half breed dude or even a full white guy like in like around a Mexican gang or in a Mexican gang or hanging out, but it's never been exemplified in film or even.
But
like,
one thing about Blood In, Blood Out that they made us real is that that white motherfucker from the hood is the craziest.
Down. Ever. Yeah. The downest fool, dog.
He has a lot of shit to prove.
Yeah, dog.
It's like when you see a bunch of fucking Crips, you see one Asian motherfucker.
Oh, dude.
Oh, man.
The mastermind.
Watch out for Duck. This motherfucker took Crippin' to the next level.
This one said
he's teaching these Crips about home invasions.
Yeah, fool.
Fool, you know Asians, bro. Do the Asian gangs do home invasions? Like, it ain't nothing, bro.
Home invasions.
My uncle, I don't like them. Let's rob them.
Now,
for real, bro, that's the real thing, man. Like in Atwater, there was a gangster there who was the biggest gangster in Atwater, and he was half white. I don't want to say his name, though, but he's probably listening right now.
He's
probably right now in the shoe.
Spelled S-H-U.
But yeah, man. And then, like, whenever I post something about Blood In, Blood Out, or I put on Blood In, Blood Out quotes, man, we go 7-10 hours.
So I get littered with them, huh? Hell yeah.
I bet everybody want to quote you, huh?
Yeah, well, it's funny because people come up to me, they start telling me all the lines from Blood In, Blood Out, and they remember them all, and I don't. And when sometimes I won't remember them, and they're like, hey, man, you don't remember? I don't remember every line, but if you give me the script, I can do it. A todo madre un desmadre.
They act like you only been in that one movie, huh?
Oh, man. Like, me and B.S. a comedian. Sometimes I get heckled by other Latinos on the stage. You fucking fat motherfucker. or something like that, right? A fool. I'm going to show up to your house with red underwear like Popeye from Blood In, Blood Out. Give me some chon-chon. Like, no. What was it like to work with that actor? What's his name?
It was horrible. I tried to forget about
it.
I had to see a psychiatrist for 2 years.
Damn!
No, really, it's funny you say that because...
That's the ugliest Latino and black guy.
That's Big Poppy.
That's the ugliest Latino and black guy in one time.
And black guy!
Hey, he was a great actor, but I tell you, it's funny, it reminds me. this kid came up to me in a store. I think it was, Ralph's or something like that, one of those stores, I can't remember.
The Angies.
And it was a few years back. I had gained some weight. I was depressed. I got a divorce. So I gained some weight at the time. You know, thank God I'm in okay shape now. But I went really big, you know. And this kid comes up to me and he was like, must have been 300.
You're in a mask.
No, he was like 350 pounds. I'm not joking. This kid was this
big. A big fool.
And he comes to me and goes, hey, didn't you come out in that movie, Blood In, Blood Out? I go, yeah. I was like, yeah. He goes, yeah, you played Miklo. And I said, yeah. He goes, man, you got fat.
fuck, you fatter, motherfucker. Out of here.
I was devastated for weeks, man. Then I finally lost a little weight. So
damn.
Finally got another job. And
where'd you get that placa, little Bo Peep?
Hey, that was perfect, man.
Damn, that sucks, man.
Fucking people, dog. That's before.
People come up to me, too. They tell me, damn, bro, you look fatter in real life. Yeah, bro, that camera adds 10 pounds. How many cameras are you holding, dog?
I got a shooting crew over here, man.
Oh, they look at your YouTube. You were nervous when you first started.
I know. We'll be looking at everything, dog.
They check out everything, man. Right?
A RoboCop eye.
Like, you have an Instagram, a Twitter?
You know, it's funny.
I
never done that.
Let's start
and
one right
I
now.
Should do it. I don't
you
know how
just
to do
call
it.
Him, man.
I'm old school,
You'll
man.
You'll blow it up, man.
Old school, original
Miklo Damien Chapa. Should be
hell
there.
Yeah.
Original Miklo, whatever, man.
OG Miklo.
OG,
yeah, because all this Instagram, I mean, I'm old school. Joe's going to be better at that. Joe Guinan, a producer. He's a great guy.
Yeah, man.
Up,
just
man?
Watch your pocket and you'll be all right.
I got paid last
week. Sticky fingers over here.
That's funny, man. You said that you were working in a movie, and if someone just blew all their heads off, and you come here with a producer with a broken leg, dog.
You better go take that shit up.
I told your producer that's what happens when they don't listen to
us. Fuck that. I'm going to buy me a rabbit's foot, eh? I thought that story about that movie was going to lead to something. Eh? Yeah, man. They're going to finally release that movie on James Dean on Netflix. Turn it into a true Hollywood story, bro.
No, yeah, it was difficult.
They were from the killers, though, man.
No, it was a guy it's funny because they had like 3 or 4 million. It's all in this book, way before Blood In, Blood Out happened. But it's in a book that he owed some money, the producers owed some money to their assistant who was a bodyguard or something. It was only like 10 grand or something. And they never paid him. They overlooked him. They started making the movie. And he was like, hey. And then he went and shot himself out in Vegas. And that was it. All over.
Wow. Crazy.
Hit Shorty for real.
Yeah.
10,000. Wow. 10,000. I mean, that somebody with a lot of money bought the debt for 10,000, and now he wants that other person to pay him $1 million, and he don't want to pay it, so we got to kill him.
Yeah.
He sent the henchman.
Hey, you guys have been around some real people. Chinga.
What happened, bro?
I'll be right back.
Hey, I heard.
No, word on the street, dog.
Word on the street, you know?
Hey, that's a good one. Word on the street. I got to use that. Word on the street. By the way, I prerequisite everything I said with word on the street.
I do a lot of reading, man. No, because what happens, like, this is not a known fact, but I saw a documentary about this gang who was these thugs, bro, and that guy said that Bobby Brown owed this other guy $35,000. And he's been dodging them, like, you know, he's Bobby Brown. He doesn't want to pay the money. And then one day, this guy said, you know what? I'll pay you the money. So he paid him the $35,000. Then he fucking said to Tony, Bobby Brown, you owe me $400,000 now. So they kidnapped him.
Interest.
Kidnapped him, and then they paid it off. Well, we can delete all this, but that's what I heard. Word on the streets.
Hey, you get sunk in by somebody on the street, they get your claws in you, dude. It's over, though.
It's in a book, too, man. Some guy who wrote it, he's in prison right now, locked up, man.
That shit happens, dude. There's a lot of little stories of extortion, dog.
Yeah.
On the underground.
Not to make something a little lighter, but I got a movie coming out.
Yes.
I'm sweating over here. Hey, no, but I have a movie coming out. Just want to give a shout-out to my gente. That
Hell yeah.
It's called Father Rupert Meyer, Daryl Hannah, Stacy Keach, myself, Damian Chapa. It's coming out at the Crest Theater on May 30th. 28th. Well, that's the premiere night, okay. But it comes out actually in the theater on the 30th. And if you guys want to see a really good movie, it's a faith-based movie. So we can...
Where's the showing at?
It's at the Crest Theater. And it's a film that I filmed in Germany, actually, with my producer, Nicola Meyer, who really helped us out a lot out there. And is thinking about coming here and doing some stuff to support the Chicano community in different films that are a little bit more faith-based so we can kind of get out of this, get some of our gente out of this.
See the sunshine.
To be better than us three. Father Rupert Meyer, yeah.
The Crest Theater here in L.A.?
Yes, at Westwood. You can call up Crest Theater in Westwood Boulevard. And it starts April 30th. So if you guys want to see a good movie, you can even bring your abuelas, man. This one's, this Sweet. Is clean, man.
So y'all want to see a good movie, man? When, May 30th?
May 30th.
May 30th at the Crest Theater, man. Father Rupert Meyer starring Damian Chapa. Go check it out. And, man, and you can bring in your bootleg, Blood In, Blood Out. He'll sign it for you right there.
And I will, too.
He'll sign your white JCPenney T-shirt. He will sign your Nike Cortez.
Your bandana.
This fool will sign your Blood In, Blood Out memorabilia. You know what?
Memorabilia.
Man, I'm telling you, man, if we were to have a Blood In, Blood Out film festival, I bet you we could get at least 500 people to show up.
For more, dog.
We'll charge them $30 to get in, bro. fuck. Because they're having a Bosque Fest.
20 to 30 pictures a day. Just sit at Denny's.
Hell yeah, man.
Just in 5 minutes. 20 people begging for pictures. I mean, really.
We got the colonel over here, man.
The Hardy Boy
Elvis Presley over here. Yeah.
The leg breaker.
I'm serious, bro. You charge, like, we just fucking hide Damian Chapa in a closed curtain. Fuck that, man. Ain't nobody gonna take a selfie fucking for free. Nobody.
This is history.
We'll fucking hide this. We'll hide him the way they hide fucking Daryl from fucking Walking Dead, bro. At Comic-Con. Nope. They walk with him like a shield, bro. Yeah. And nobody's taking a photo with
oh,
him.
Oh, really?
You got to pay him, dog.
Yeah.
Do I get 10 cents on a dollar?
Hell no, bro. You get appearances fee, bro. I thought you the colonel over here. The now, man, we have a blood in, blood out American Me Festival, bro. We got to get some American Me guys.
No, we got to be careful, American Me. keep that okay, now, I'll tell you why off camera.
We're going to slash that shit out, man. I know, bro.
You got excited, everybody.
People were excited. Everybody. I was thinking sponsors.
Oh, by the way, Vatos Locos, a movie is out right now. You can get it at Walmart. Vatos Locos. I think everybody might appreciate that. It's a really interesting film about some
Vatos Locos.
Well, some Vatos Locos going up against the Chinese mafia, and it's really a cool film.
Oh, sure, I want to see that.
Vatos
shit.
Locos at Walmart. It just came out. Go get it.
Hell yeah!
Bring it here now, and I'll sign it. I love you guys.
For real, man. Like, yeah, I'll check we were that talking out about it on Twitter 2 years ago when we were busting like there were people were busting on movie quotes, and I said, man, screw that, man, blood in blood out quotes right now. So everyone was doing their own, and man, I made a meme with you and what's the name of that fucking fat fool bro from Blood in Blood Out, the one that fucking he kills and takes over the business.
Oh,
Happy. Big Happy?
Oh, you mean Big Al.
Big Al.
Oh, Big Al, yeah. Yeah, we stopped that relationship.
Yeah, bro. That fool. So somebody from Chicago, I think his name is Chicago Structure. I don't know his name. He made a fucking the funniest meme, bro. It was you and Big Happy.
Big Al.
Big Al.
No, Big Al.
Yeah.
And the meme said, it was just Big Al like this. And then the meme said, he goes out, Big L be like that ass a Miklo, though.
That was a hard scene to do.
That
was
got a million views.
A million?
A million. Yeah.
Okay, we got to change, baby. We got to go. Colonel, get on it.
I'm on the phone right now.
He'll be on it, believe me.
Nah, for real, man, like we were, before Big Lebowski was the Big Lebowski Festival, it had just started. The movie The Big Lebowski, I ran into one of the actors that had a small, little, tiny part in the movie. And I said, bro, you're fucking Leeds from the movie. You're that cop who found his car. You're Leeds, bro. Then I called in like 20 more people. Leeds, 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 Leeds. We were like little kids. My nipple was hard. We were taking photos with him.
And then
now he does Lebowski Fest. Fuck now that, man. We're going to have Blood in Blood Out Fest. His name is not Leeds. His name is not Leeds. Just like Chicho get the yeyo, it's not Chicho get the yeyo.
It was close.
Chicho La Puerta.
Well, you know, it's such a great thing to be involved in a movie like Blood In, Blood Out because, you know, it doesn't stay there for a decade. It's 2 decades now. And I presume it will be continuing into future, and it's so wonderful to be a part of something that they're even using for schools now. They even use Blood In, Blood Out
for
schools to teach them about Chicano culture in the areas, you know. So I'm so very proud. My abuela would have been very proud of me.
Awesome.
And she's passed now, but I'm so proud to be a part of it. It's really changed my life. Miklo changed my life. He really did.
When did you start noticing, like, I know, like, the movie came out in movie theaters, like, release, right?
Yeah, it came out during the riots, so it would have been big, but everybody was shooting everybody, so Disney, it was the first time Disney ever did
Disney to release Blood In, Blood
Disney
Out?
Disney released it, well, under Hollywood Pictures.
Okay.
But it was Disney, you know, underneath it all. They were hiding it
Under the Disney blanket, they released Blood In, Blood Out.
Exactly.
Why it looks so characters good,
characters like Miklo, Snoopy, and Joker.
No, really, that's what happened. They were trying to hide it with Hollywood Pictures like this. But, you know, but the thing, yeah, it came out at the wrong time. Because right when it came out, we were all
that's
happy.
That's bad.
And all of a sudden, next thing you know, we hear there was shooting
theaters?
In the theaters all over the place, even in Nevada. And so Disney says, we can't have this. We need to protect Snoopy. You know, whatever the character, Daffy Duck or whatever.
Yeah, Joker, Mickey.
Joker, Mickey. So they pulled
Nemo
all of the prints out. And we were finished. It was
done.
Over. And then something happened about 2 years later. The director said, hey, no te preocupes. Put a bill all right, man. And they put it on DVD, and next thing you know,
it blew up.
Blew up, yeah.
So 2 years later, released on DVD.
Yeah.
But you got paid, right?
Disney's, they're not very, they're not the biggest payers, but they paid us. I can eat. I can feed the kids.
Okay, good, man, because I've done a lot of movies, man, that went straight to iTunes.
Sometimes that's all right, though.
I've done movies that went straight to IMDb.
Straight to credits.
That's it, bro. You go straight to IMDb as a title, but never as a release. I keep going back. Release 2015. Goddamn, I made that movie in 2009.
Hey, I want to put him in Blood for Blood. We got to put him in.
Movie or something, coach.
We got to put him in. We can't make him Popeye 2. That, or we get shot.
I'll be Popeye 2, bro. Really?
Give me some chon
chon. What are the narco or big bus going to?
Now that's the guy you could do.
Do it, bro. Do him, bro. Do some narco.
This stuff's going down at Zodi's. I like wearing my big old, my tanga. But I'm going to go disappear and go be ugly again.
Home. Hey, Zodi.
That's a mean ceboso, huh, fool?
You know when I see the movie Blood In, Blood Out, I always Google everybody in the fucking movie, bro. Everybody. I don't care if you have a small role, I find out where the hell you are. And there were some really good actors in that movie.
Yeah.
Because the guy that when you came back from work in the movie and you had Crucito with you, and then that guy with the curly hair pulled a fucking gun in your face.
Yeah, he was good. I loved that
guy. He's a good actor.
No, he's great.
He's a character actor from the. He was in Repo Man.
Yeah, he's great. I would love working with him. That was a great scene. I'll never forget that scene. That was just, every scene in that movie was so memorable. But the thing that was interesting is when we were shooting in San Quentin. You know, we were really shooting with all the
real... Oh, you were?
Oh, we shot in a real...
That's where it was?
I thought you were shooting at that county jail that's closed.
Well, we shot there, too, for some parts of it, like specific parts. But the majority of the scenes in San Quentin, they were in San Quentin. And we're around everybody. It's real. I mean, they had a guy, and all of a sudden, the guards were gone. The director of photography was gone. And, the PAs were gone. And I was standing next to this guy. He was like, hey, what's up, man? And I looked around, and he was like... They hadn't put him back in the jail yet. You know, he was a real vato, you know. I was like, and that's okay. I know these guys, but nobody else was around.
Okay, I'm in a cage with a tiger.
But anyway, we had a great time in there, but it was strange because I wasn't worried about any of the vatos at all. They were great. You know, our gente, you know, machismo todo está bien. But I was worried the fact that the same prison was Charlie Manson was in that place, man. And I didn't want to go anywhere near that guy, man.
I'm making a movie about Charlie Manson, hell nah.
Can you imagine doing a scene in Popeye and all that girl, all of a sudden you look and there's Charlie Manson. I was like, no way,
you look,
man.
Over there, there's a guy over there with a swastika on his forehead, man. Can they get a couple of lines?
That's what happens when you listen to heavy metal.
Hey, chorizo.
But it was a great experience. That prison, though, it's so realistic on film. That's why I think the film Blood In, Blood Out is so realistic, because we shot in Pico Liso and all these places like, you know, San Quentin. And it really was a real experience. I think anybody who sees it feels maybe like I do, that it's an experience, not just a movie.
Hell yeah, bro, man. When fucking Popeye gets you in that cell, man, I was like, fuck, I thought they were going to be friends.
He was all cool to you in the beginning, huh?
That was
like,
a
hard
scene to do, believe me.
I was like, damn,
it
man.
Was cool, dog.
Oh, prison, I was like, okay, prison like that? I thought prison was more like when I was supposed to Stallone, you fucking build a car.
Make license plates.
I think Taylor Hackford was getting out of his fantasies in that movie or something.
Because
he kept putting me in the cell with gay guys who want to rape me. I'm like, what the fuck? I go, man, can you do this stuff at home, man? Keep this out of the movie, man.
Man,
for real, man. Papa was scary, bro.
Oh, dude.
There's a meme for him. What they call it? Chon Chon's Friday, bro. This guy has memes. Give me the chon chon.
Give me the chocho.
That food Dominican, no? Dominican?
Somewhere down south, yeah.
Caribbean.
He did a good job, though.
Yeah,
everybody did good.
Yeah, everybody was bad as fuck.
My favorite person in the movie, everybody.
Big Al.
Well, Big Al. By the way, Big Al did a great job back.
He's awesome,
but
bro.
his finger, man, it was hard, man. It was hard to take that one.
Oh yeah. Oh
yeah. When you brought it up earlier, I was thinking about. I was like, all right.
But my favorite actor in the movie really was, you know, Jesse Borrego. I think he is such a
genius.
He's a
genius, bad motherfucker.
One of the most, really, one of the most underrated actors in Hollywood. Jesse Borrego, to me, was really the soul of Benjamin, Brad, and I's characters because, you know, we looked to him for everything when we were living together down there, trying to learn more because Benjamin's not Chicano. He's half German and half Peruvian, and he was trying to understand the Chicano experience. And I had my experience, but Jesse really brought us together, man.
He's from San Antonio, right?
Yeah, San Antonio. And Jesse Borrego, I loved work. He is such a brilliant
actor. You're fame, bro.
Yeah,
dog. And Adan Hernandez, the painter, who did all those paintings in the movie, he really brought that.
Was he in the movie?
I don't think he was in the movie, but all his art was.
Okay.
And he is just a brilliant painter, man. I mean, that he made that movie. He really did. And, of course, Jimmy Baca, Santiago, the writer of the film. It was a great experience, man. Great experience.
What was it like hanging out with Jesse Borrego and Benjamin Bratt to get ready for, like, to get the carnalismo going?
It really was a life-changing experience for me because, you know, I understood, you know, my aunts they all and uncles, they live in Texas and Michigan, and, you know, I got the whole tamale treatment every month. They send us tamale, and I understood. My grandmother taught me a little bit, but I didn't understand the East L.A. Chicanismos, which is a whole different thing, you know. I mean, of course, you know, it's similar in culture and language and arts and all that, but it has its own feel, East L.A. So we got it down. We lived with everybody there. We started to see the art, the culture, everything that had to do with the Chicano experience in East L.A., and it really was a wonderful experience for me. I learned a lot more about who I was.
That's
by
cool,
doing
man.
That movie, you know?
It's different, man, because, you know, you go to Texas Chicano, they're more like ding, 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 ding.
Rancheros.
Ranchero music. Then you go to fucking East L.A. City Chair, it's more like,
the oldies, eh?
Yeah, or like, Angel Baby.
Angel Baby.
He can go that high, I can't go that high.
It's funny, man. Like we have friends that have been on our podcast, our black comedian friends.
Yeah,
and when they talk about what's the most hardcore movie you ever seen, man? You go, oh man, Blood In, Blood Out. Man.
No, you're my man. Y'all Mexicans is crazier than the motherfucker, man.
Well, you know when Magic Mexico, Victor Rivers, great actor, by the way, he comes in and takes Delroy Lindo, the guy from the Black Mafia, and he shoves the shank, but this was like a big old long, whatever you call it,
harpoon.
You know, they were like, "You can't do this in a movie." You know, they were trying to tell the director, "You can't do this because it's politically incorrect." But it was so real that what happens in prison, like, and actually that happened in the '70s with, you know, the Mexican mafia did, you know, take over the whole place. So, you know, and it really happened. So he did a great job of exposing the reality of the segregation in the prison between Mexicanos, whites, and blacks. Yeah. And it was real, and you can feel it.
Oh, yeah.
It was real, man. Like, you didn't expect that food to kill that food at the end, huh? For fucking cheap times, man.
For cheap times!
Oh, my God.
Now, you're not going to believe this.
Oh, man.
You won't believe it.
You killed my... I didn't think my tunnel was going to get down like that, dude. Even I was food. Even I want Miklo dead after that, bro. But then at the end of the movie, I understood why. But it was a hard decision,
yeah,
man.
It was
understand why he had to do that. And only Miklo could do that. You know, that was the character.
Yeah.
The character has built up from the beginning to this last finale, which pretty much is where, like, Darth Vader killing the apprentice, killing Darth Vader, and Luke Skywalker becoming the dark side of the Force. They go,
the climax.
No, it's
climax.
It's a story point.
Build up, right?
Yeah.
Everything has built up to this, but the hatred with your half-dad and this, that, and now you're going to kill this guy, this other dad.
Yeah.
Who brought you up in prison.
But he wants peace, and, yeah. and we can't have peace if not we lose everything. Forward. Yeah, there's no choice.
And then the way you did it, dog. Tight.
Ah, man. And then you got to get the other fools.
And that's what they go
did
for.
Did you guys have real inmates as extras? Because some of those fools behind you look too real.
No,
man.
They were all real. Everybody was real. That's the thing about Taylor Hackford. You know, him and I, we had a... It was a difficult relationship on a set because we were both very intense, but he was a really brilliant guy in that he really had everything that was real that he possibly could, in the whether it was the black mafia or the hillbilly mafia or the Mexican mafia. He put everybody in there that was – it was real. Everybody was real except for, like, for example, Benjamin Bratt and, you know, people like that. They're, you know, they're not real. They but they're great actors, and they portrayed it. I grew up on the street, so I had some real things to bring to it. But that was a difficult choice. You're talking about a $35 million film, and you give it to somebody who's never done a film before. That takes pelotas, you know what I mean, to do that, you know?
So, wow, you got $35 million to make Blood In, Blood Out?
$35 million, yeah.
And it's still grossing money.
Yeah, it's amazing. It still sells, and it's still a wonderful experience for me.
Walmart. The Colonel.
It's sold out at Walmart?
Listen to the Colonel.
Let me tell you, man. Even on YouTube, man. You know Chepo, Juan Garcia?
Yeah.
Everybody know who that motherfucker is. He's the one that didn't do the podcast. Anyways, that dude, we were on the road one time, and we're doing stand-up comedy, and this fool, he's watching something on YouTube over and over, then he stops it, then he starts it again. And then I tell him, he's pretty stoned, too. What the hell are you watching, man? I'm watching Blood In, Blood Out, but you keep stopping it. Oh, man, they don't have Blood In, Blood Out, the full movie on YouTube no more. I got to watch it in 20 minutes at a time.
They took it off finally.
That's a 2-hour and 35-minute movie.
Actually, it's 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah, 3 hours.
Oh, yeah, dude.
It was 3 hours.
It was 5 hours in the beginning.
People don't know that blood. It's not Blood In, Blood Out, Blood Out. It's Bound by Honor, Blood In, Blood Out.
Yeah.
It's a saga, fool. That's the first Mexican American saga. It's just the beginning. It's like people. You understand that when people Europeans watch this movie, they like this movie because it's a whole story about a kid who grew up. And what's it like to grow up in a neighborhood when you're fucking different? And this goes out to a lot of people out there. Like, there's a lot of people in prison now who are like Miklo, who are half white, who fuck, man, who just caught up with the wrong fucking Mexicans.
And they're not caught.
Or people are, if you're a half anything, if you're a half black, half Chinese, but you're hanging out with cholos, you're going to be do half of your life in jail.
But you're going to be recognized.
I tell you, it's funny when in Germany, that, you know, when I first went there, I was thinking, okay, I get a little break. I left L.A. Nobody's going to come up to me and say, Vato loco forever, Miklo. And I went to Germany, and I get off the plane. All of a sudden, these big German guys come up to me. Hey, you Vato loco forever. You know, I was like, what the heck? I can't get
in
away.
Munich.
In Munich. Yeah, in Munich. You can't get away from it. They
That's
love
awesome,
it.
Dog.
Blood In, Blood Out Festival in Munich.
But they have it in German, so they come and start telling me the lines in German. I'm like, what the hell is this guy saying?
That's fucking awesome.
That funny. Must sound different. Biggie Al must sound weird in Germany. Me clo.
Gibbons me some chonchon.
Give me some chonchon. Es in die Scheiße.
Do you want to see Wiener Schnitzel?
Nick having Wiener Schnitzel for you.
Me clo after eating these fucking tamales. These popovers. These blints. Man, how many tamales did you have to eat to get ready for this movie, bro? Because you were there. You know what's funny, man?
This is the best.
You're from Vatos Locos, all right? And you're from Vatos Locos, but your rival gang is Tres Puntos, no? And you're eating tamales in front of Tres Puntos.
Cinco Puntos.
Cinco Puntos, yes.
Cinco Puntos. Yeah, it was, I tell you, I ate a lot of tamales because... The guy kept doing the take over and over, and I kept being fine. And they taste so good in the beginning. They taste so good. But then, after a while, after the 21st tamale, I was over, man.
Yeah. Like a pregnant lady after that.
People don't know that. After tamales are great, but after the 10th one, you start realizing, wait a minute, I'm eating fucking cornmeal. Over and over.
Yes.
I'm like a little cow.
But in East L.A., the best food, they had such great. The caldo de pollo was the best there, man. Oh, my God. Caldo de pollo con tortillas y todo.
That was my favorite, man. Caldo de pollo was a little side rice and cilantro and onions and serrano jalapenos.
Sí, man.
Maybe some beans on the side, maybe.
Like, I can picture it.
So we got to get rid of the beans.
I love beans. So, man, so you shot in my neighborhood. You know what's crazy? When you were shooting Blood In, Blood Out, I had just came out of rehab because of the crackhead. For real, bro. You show me a carpet, bro, and I probably look for crack on the floor. I was like the dirt devil. I was a pica pierda.
I'm glad you changed.
I'm done, bro. Me and Father Greg Boyle, he helped me out.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, man.
I got 27 years sobriety, myself.
Oh, yeah, man?
Nothing.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm sober, but yeah. Okay. I don't drink no more. Haven't drank since 2009. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
So I Thank God.
I still medicate, brasa.
Can you imagine that guy drinking?
That fear and loathing in Boyle Heights.
I love that picture, man. That's cool, man. Good artwork.
Oh, man. So you worked on Blood In, Blood Out, man. So people must stop you, man. All the way from the... you're like fucking Jordan, bro, to us. You're like... Because to us...
You're talking about Michael Jordan?
Yeah, Michael Jordan.
I have to tell you a story about that. It's so funny
tell
you
us,
say
though.
That. I was at a golf course a few years back, and... I don't watch TV much. I'm
With
so
Tom
busy.
Dreeson.
And some big, you know, handsome, tall, giant black guy starts running up to me. And where I come from, you know, I still go reaching for the bottle, you know. You know, and I look around, and this guy, big hand comes to me, goes, Miklo, like that.
Shut up.
And it was
Shut
Michael Jordan.
Up.
And he was so
What
nice.
The-
And he wanted to take a picture with
Shut
me, and I was
up,
like,
dog.
Are you kidding me? I want to take a picture with you. And so you see me next to him like this. I got it somewhere. I'll send it to him. And it's him and I on a golf course, and he is such a great guy, such a gentleman.
That's badass.
No, man, you're a great guy. You're a gentleman.
Well, thank you. Not all the
time.
Wow. I have my moments.
That's funny, man, because I've done movies, you know, that went straight to video. And some movies people want to see, but they're not out there because they're, you know, people shit happens. But I did a movie with Paul Rodriguez called I'm Not Like That No More. It's based on my stand-up. He plays my father.
He almost got it. Actually, Paul was almost a part of that movie, or was it El Padrino?
El Padrino?
Close, but he had to do something. He's a great actor.
El Padrino, that was in 2005, huh?
Yeah, 2005 we did Padrino. And that's...
Let me tell you, man. You were at Refry Fridays when you were promoting you were gonna shoot that movie, and I didn't have no beard back then, but I made you laugh.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. You're making me laugh today, man.
You came up to me, said, and you said, "Yeah, man, you're so funny." And you were laughing. I'm gonna get you in my movie, man. And then you were never saw you again.
That's because he asked for too much money.
Yeah, man, that really hurt, man. But yeah, man.
So when I leave you, I'm gonna get blasted, man.
Yeah, right. Really hurt right here, man.
Excuse me.
Man, how many people come up to you, man, with sequels to Blood In, Blood Out?
Well, I mean, it happened. I tell you.
I got one, too.
I've had people come up to me with scripts, even, you know, and it's so interesting why they don't do it, because Disney knows that movie would be awesome and power and financial, but for some strange reason, I guess they just don't want our gente to have this massive power. Something strange there, you know?
I know, man.
I don't get it. Maybe somebody can help me with that one. Why don't they do it?
You could do a Blood In, Blood Out 2, bro. You come out, bro, you come out by some computer error out of prison, and you hide in Mexico, and you start Victory Outreach.
Hold on, let me write this. Hold on.
Oh, shit.
Victory Outreach.
I like the computer error, dog.
For real, man, I knew a guy, when I was in rehab, the pastor was a bank robber, bro.
Glitch in the system.
He would always say that he got released on a computer error.
That's a good one.
Go check this.
But I mean, I'd be interested to know what they would come up with Blood and Blood Out 2. It would be, as long as Big Al doesn't come back, I'm all right with it. Or Popeye. Guys got to stay away, man.
Big Al's gone for sure.
I know, yeah. Man. For like, I think that guy, what's his name? They played Popeye forever. No matter what movie, he always be Chon Chon.
Yeah, oh, hell yeah.
Just like Radio Raheem, bro, and Do the Right Thing. I don't care how many movies that guy's been in. Every up they go Radio Raheem.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's funny because I played Bobby Fischer. He's a chess player, you know, a long time ago.
Bobby Fischer Live, right?
Yeah, Bobby Fischer Live. And I'm out there trying to be real serious as an actor and play the chess. You know, they dye my hair blonde, make me look more gavacho and everything, you know. So I'm out there and I'm trying to do the Bobby Fischer, you know. And there's always somebody that comes, hey, Vato Loco forever, man. I'm just trying to get out of it.
I know.
And it's always Vato Locos forever, man.
But I love that you accept it, man.
Of
you
course.
Love it. You
I know? Have to.
Not like, man.
Like, it's a representative.
I don't
want to
say no name. Good times.
I
don't want to say nothing but good times, you know. You know, like some people don't want to be accepted as that.
For the character that they played and got him beloved and all that shit?
Well, it saved my life. I have to be thankful for it. Not only was it good for me as an actor.
Yeah, man, you could have been showing them producers.
Exactly. And I tell you, it's so great because.
Well, Broken Lady, the general.
I thought his name was the Colonel.
The Colonel, I hear. The Honky Tonk Man.
But, you know, it is great. It's a great experience. But the thing about it was I learned more about what it was like to really be a Chicano and understand the experience. And for me, it was wonderful. So I'm proud of it. And the rest of my life, if it stays with
Who
me,
Who owns
I'm
this
happy.
Movie? Let's buy it.
Well, you mean the rights?
Yeah.
Disney.
Still?
Oh.
Hollywood Pictures, yeah.
I don't suppose don't want to let that shit go.
They don't want to let...
Don't want to let that shit go, huh?
So what else
but if we get enough Mexicanos together, we can buy it.
Danny Trejo.
Get
everybody in a movie that has money now. Danny Trejo, yeah. Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah. Yeah, Billy Bob. Well, Billy's... He's not Mexicano. He's like Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob, or like Chris Torres. He's Filipino. Billy Bob Thornton.
You know what's so funny? Billy came up to me on the set of Blood and Blood Out, and he had the script, and nobody really, he wasn't that big at all. He's a character actor. Great actor, Billy Bob.
He's bad, man.
And Billy comes up to me and goes, hey, man, I got this script for you. I want you to look at it. And I was so inundated with playing Miklo. It was like a five-hour movie. I didn't even know what it was. And later on, it was, you know, and he did the movie, and here he went off.
Sling Blade.
And he did such a brilliant job in that. I wish I would have grabbed that script and helped him with it, but I... It was too much to do Blood and Blood Out. You know, so.
That's going to be the new thing. How's that
Give me
pussy?
Some Joan Joan.
I like Miklos biscuits. With gravy.
The best time in the early part of making Blood and Blood Out was when I was way down at the end in the prison. And they said, there's a little ray of sunshine. I was like... We hadn't eaten for like 6 hours, and I was like, man, we're going to eat. And they had that little green Jellos. So I started eating when this lady goes, oh, here, go ahead. I go, I can have one. I started going, like, and there was a $100 bill in there from the movie, you know.
Yeah.
And I started eating, and I was like, what the hell? And it was $100, and it was a real one. But I shouldn't have said that because now Disney knows I owe them $100.
That's your bonus.
I finally get a residual.
Hey, fool, like, what else would you add to, like, if you're going to do Blood and Blood Out 2, like, to keep the story going? You're going to have to kill Popeye for snitching, dog.
Yeah,
so that's
sure.
What you get him out
well,
of the
Well, the first thing I want to do is take out my cousin for shooting my leg off. Everybody comes up to me and says, why didn't you take out your cousin, Holmes? And I say, you know what? Okay, let's do it.
Something, bro. You know who else was in that movie, too, bro? Biff from Back to the Future.
Oh yeah, as what fool?
As Benjamin Bratt's partner.
Yeah, he was the butt of donuts.
Yeah, donuts. The King Cops. Yeah,
the
yeah,
one
yeah.
That came in burrito from the Harlem Nights Special.
The lady that shot Selena too, dog.
Yeah, bro, she was in it, bro. And so was that comedian lady, the one that was studying the PCP.
Selena brought me up on stage in Texas. She was the one, and then it was like I went up stage and I was like, oh my god, I get nervous on stage because I used to be okay, but. I'm better with movies than that. She brought me up and says, here's Miklo, blood in, blood out. Vatos looking. It went crazy. And the next thing you know, she was dead. It was a really sad time for me because I just met her. I couldn't. To this day, I'm still in shock about that.
Damn.
She was bold.
Bold, huh?
And yeah, it was horrible.
A contest, you know, Blood In and Blood Out Part 2 Writers Contest.
They should, yeah, man. Blood In, Blood Out.
Yeah. Look at the Colonel right here, Colonel. Right, what are we going to do without you?
Okay, man. Damon Chapa's manager, the Colonel. He just announced Blood In, Blood Out Part 2 Screenplay Contest. Okay, you can write it, submit it, we'll steal it, make a million.
We'll call you.
And please don't put Bruce Jenner in it, please.
Come on, Bruce, you're going to play Meat Club.
Please don't have him asking for John John, please.
What film are you directing?
Oh, yeah,
bro?
We're doing a film called...
You need James Gandolfini playing, bro. Tell
him. How you guys doing? If you guys need anybody for your film, your voice, whatever. Have a go, whatever. Yeah, keep it moving forward. Nevertheless, everybody. This fine gentleman here, David Chopper, please continue. Tell us about your directorial endeavors, the movies, the projects, Munich, Europe, all those things.
Thank you. Well, I had a little problem in Europe, but we'll get over that one.
I don't know what you said about Miklo and Levato.
It's good. That's a good one, dude.
Levato is almost right here. And I just want to say that I got nothing to say about nothing right now.
Well, Edward James Olmos, funny enough, after we did Blood, he did American Me, and I did Blood and Blood Out.
How did that work? Who came out first, the idea?
Well, it was funny enough, it was the same script. I can't remember the guy's name. He was writing the script, and then Taylor went and grabbed this part, and Eddie grabbed this part, and it became two scripts.
Shut up.
So it was like a cell break, you know?
So that's where.
And
that's what's up with that.
It came
shit.
From one guy. I can't remember the main guy who started the first one. But then right after we did the movie, I got a movie called Menendez. I played Lyle Menendez, the guy who killed his parents. And I show up on a set, and there's Edward James Olmos. But he had just got done doing American Me, and we had Blood and Blood Out, and it was this big, you know, thing, you know, but he did a great job, Eddie. He's a great actor, man. Really, he's a fantastic actor.
Wow, man. So it's like the Bible. Luke wrote this part and Matthew wrote the other part. So that really happened?
It really happened.
Who's the original guy who wrote
the original writer?
The nucleus of Blood and Blood
Out. He was
out,
some guy, American some writer movie. In L.A. and he started writing. It was started about, Peg Leg.
Yeah. Yeah, Peg Leg Morgan.
It was something
Morgan.
About Joe Morgan. And then next thing you know, they said, hey, you better not do that, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they changed it to Miklo.
Oh. That way it could be like more chill and it won't be too overt.
Well, they couldn't. I don't think they would have been smart to use the
real names. Right.
So, idiot, man.
But it would have been really idiota. So, you know, but the thing is, they did. I think Taylor and Jimmy Baca did a really good job with theirs. And I think Edward did a great job with American Me. I just think they became two different movies based from the same thing. I think they both did great. They're both great movies. And it's for us, for our community, it's wonderful that they did too.
Yes.
Because nobody was doing anything for our community.
Well,
nobody.
That's why I think that's why they're both so beloved and they're both so loved. And then it's also kind of like, you know, different dynamics within those two, stories that are being told.
But I think ours was, you know, very emotional.
And was it cool? It's because it seemed like a little bit more youthful.
Yes.
Too. The other one was like, you know, it went from like really young to like, you know, hardcore already.
Yeah,
you mean that this had a lot of the street.
Ours built a lot. Yeah. You know, build the story built.
And it's true what he said, like, you know, it's a fucking saga, dude. It was cool.
You should have been nominated, bro.
Well, they said that, but I'm a little bit politically incorrect, so that's probably not going to happen. Well, it was considered. We had, you know, it was considered for nomination. But you have to understand it's a very political thing, the Academy. And if you're like us,
and to get nominated in Hollywood, you're going to be a woman who's playing a hooker or someone who's abused. Who beat up, then you get the Oscar.
Yeah.
Or AIDS.
Well, you know, I mean, somebody asked me once if I wanted an Academy Award, and I said, well, I'd probably just melt it, give it to the poor. So,
I don't want an Academy Award, man, because most of the time people get an Academy Award, they stop working it.
Don't give me that award, man. I don't want to stop working, man.
Yeah, I just want a Golden Globe.
I just got my unemployment award.
Fuck that. You're going to get the What's Up Food Podcast Award.
By the way, I would accept that award because that's something real. There's no political aspect to that one.
So what's this new movie you're coming out?
Enemy man? Within is something I'm doing with Romina Dilella right now.
You do a lot of movies, bro.
Yeah, I do. I just love to work. You know, for me, I'm an artist. I just like keep working. I try to do things that I think are interesting. And, you know, some things I've done are very politically incorrect. For example, when I did Polanski, I did a movie about somebody in this city that's very...
Roman Polanski?
Yeah, Roman Polanski. And, you know, I was told not to do it. Literally.
He was told not to do that girl, too.
Yeah. Well, I was called. Hey, exactly. I was called by a very big person, in, quote unquote, in this town and said, we don't want you to do that movie. I said, I'm going to do it anyway.
I'm Miklo, dog. I can do what I want.
Well, I said, you're not going to stop me. I'm going to do it. You know, and they, you know, it's, and I did it, and it's a politically incorrect thing, but it was critically acclaimed, and, you know, we did all right. So.
Hell yeah, man.
You can't stop
people.
Where
can we find that movie? Netflix? Somewhere?
Yes. You can find it in Amazon, all over the place. But the next one we're doing is Enemy Within, and then we're going to do Blood for Blood, which we'll be looking for a lot of extras to come in that are real and, you know, that really have some colorful elements to them. So,
oh, Jigo, bring some color.
Yeah, man. I'm
colorful
down.
Elements about the cars, I meant. But I stopped my thought with my ADHD.
I don't think your pest control truck qualifies. So, man, we have a mutual friend, Beer Run Bobby.
But there was a Beer Run. I've said hello to him. Real nice guy. And then,
yeah, he's cool.
And there was a guy that hooked us up, Bogart Linares, who's a good friend of mine and produced with me. And, you know, we're going to be doing some interesting things in the future. We're very happy to be back in L.A. And it's good to be home.
Man, because I saw you with Beer Run Bobby, and I thought, and I put the oldies but goodies thing together. Okay, Blood In, Blood Out, too. No, maybe?
Well, you know, like I said, we see what happens with Blood In, Blood Out, too. We're still...
Or Blood In, Blood Out documentary.
Nah, I think we should do it, man. We got the investors.
I tell you, man, we don't need an investor to do Blood In, Blood Out Festival. We'll just shoot it ourselves.
Oh, shit, this is another indie one I'm involved in.
You'll get your $5,000.
Make it 10, it's a deal.
People are curious, man.
For real, man. Can't believe me, we got Blood In, Blood Out, dog.
You're
a selfie right now, man.
Selfie's good.
Oh, man.
Matos Locos forever. I love you guys.
Forever, man. What's up, fool? Eric Roberts.
Eric Roberts is going to be in our film. And
are you serious?
Yeah.
I work with Eric Roberts in a movie.
Hell yeah, dude.
Eric Roberts, I did a movie real quick. Show you how good Eric Roberts is, a good actor. Not because of everything he's been on. Fucking that movie where he killed Playboy. That movie with some...
Star 80. Gypsy King, he was good. He was really
Pope's
great now.
Popes of Wimmer.
They took my thumb, Charlie.
They took my thumb.
My thumb, Charlie.
Charlie.
Yeah, but we're working in a... we're working, man. I only had no lines.
Fucking dog.
But Eric Roberts came in, and he was doing somebody a favor for the movie, probably, because he only had like four scenes. He had never even read the script, bro. The guy had the words
monitor?
For him on a cardboard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just came in, no script. He saw the script one time, and they had the lines over there, and he goes, all right. He came from another movie. He was shooting a movie with a budget somewhere else. Came to do my little movie with somebody else. Okay, they just told him, you're the manager, blah, blah, blah. This guy grabbed a wash rag right away. And he started cleaning the table and went straight to his scene, bro, and nailed it and got the fuck out of
there. Yeah, Eric's a talented guy.
A bad motherfucker. Man. I was there 5 hours playing the cook, bro. Not one time did I pick up a wash rag to be more a fucking cook. He plays a fucking manager who's pissed off because the waitress is late. So the first thing he does, he tells Felipe, give me a wash rag. So I give him a wash rag, and he starts fucking washing the floor real fast, the table real fast. You fucking bitch! Then he gets into character, nails it, bro, and gets the fuck out of there. And I'm watching this in the hall going, man, not one time did I realize that I could have picked up a wash rag and be look instead of pretending to wash dishes over here like a non-actor asshole over here.
Thank you, Felipe.
So thank you, Damian Chapa, for being here. Thank you, Miklo, the original Miklo. What's up, fool?
Hell yeah. And keep going forward, dog.
A todo madre, un desmadre.
Forever.
Hell yeah.
Simón Garcia. Give me some chonchons.
Yeah, man.
Can we cut the chonchon out?
Miguel.
That was awesome.